Well, good morning, Fort Alliance, our extended digital family. Great to be with you today and in the season via means like this. Super excited for the morning. We are wrapping up our Think Kingdom series. I know we've gone through three mini series, if you will, but I'll get to that in a moment. But I'm super excited because if I had to like pick one of these messages as like being kind of the one that most at least resonates with my soul, it's this one. And I'm just looking forward to processing that with you. I've shared with you that I've been watching the show The Chosen. It's a crowd-funded portrayal of the life of Jesus. And last week, I finally got through season one. And I don't think I'm exaggerating here. I think I literally cried and welled up with tears at least in every single episode, as my heart just like felt like it was meeting Jesus again as they portrayed Jesus and developed the characters within this show. As I mentioned, Matthew, the disciple in this particular show, is portrayed as an autistic man who is incredibly gifted with numbers. And when you come to the episode where Jesus finally like extends the hand and then calls him out and says, "Follow me," Peter, the disciple who I probably most relate to on a number of levels, freaks out. He's like, because he knows, like, Matthew has held him to account with his taxes, right? And Matthew has previously, like, you know, dotted every I, crossed every T. And Peter looks at Jesus, he's like, "Jesus, are you kidding me? Him? No, Jesus." And Jesus in the show looks at Peter and says this line. I know it's not from the Bible, but this line hit me. Jesus says, "Get used to different." I love that line. Like, the moment I heard that line, it like just kind of stoked the coals, the fire, the it fanned the flames within my soul, if you will, of the call and what it looks like to follow Jesus. Get used to different. I love it when people think outside of the box. When I was in youth ministry in Brandon, about 20 years ago-ish, I got a call. I got a call from a local parole officer. Parole officer calls me up and says, "So I got this kid I'm working with, and he got in a fight," which wasn't the first fight I'd heard of, because the church where I was working at that point literally was across the street from one of the high schools. And the parole officer goes on to say, "He got in a fight in the church parking lot, and he's been charged with assault." And the judge who sentenced him said, "If you're going to fight at the church, you're going to go to church." And the judge sentenced him to church. So the parole officer's on the phone with me. Said, "We'd like him to go to your church if you're comfortable with that." I'm like, "Am I comfortable? This is awesome." That a judge would think so outside of the box of working with this student. That particular teenager, anyway, he didn't just finish his sentence of church. Until the day in which I actually moved away, he was a regular at our youth. He was often at my house for a burger. We would regularly head to the outdoor rink to play shinny, and I built a relationship with him because a judge sentenced him to church. I love it when people start to think outside of the box. When it comes to the topic we're speaking on today, I don't think it's just important to think outside of the box. I think it's absolutely necessary. This morning we're talking about reaching the unreached. And when it comes to reaching the unreached, we, the church, Fort Alliance, we must get used to different. It's essential. We must get used to different. Hang with me on that thought. So we've been in this Think Kingdom series, and we're wrapping it up today, as I already mentioned. And we took time to talk about mission. Mission is the who we are, the what we are about, and we talk about being marked by love, a people who love God and love others. That's the church in a nutshell right there. Then we talked a little bit about vision. And when we talked about vision, we talked about this is why we exist. We exist to serve the fort, to reach the region and the world. This comes right from Jesus, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And then we moved into the big three of our denomination, these like core points of emphasis, if you will. And in my perspective, at least, I think these are probably like three of the clearest, most well-articulated big three you could get. And for the denomination that we're a part of, they are make disciples, spiritual renewal, and today we come to reaching the least reached. And for the sake of our context, I'm going to talk about reaching the unreached. That's how we got to where we are today. And when it comes to, as I said, reaching the unreached, we got to get used to different. In my personal just kind of meanderings and thoughts as I think through and process grace, calling, Jesus' mission, something recently hit me that I'd never thought of before. The very first missionary had had five husbands. And the man that she was currently with, she was not married to. I mean, never mind the biblical implications of that era and historically, even today. I mean, if we were to go through the process of becoming a missionary in the Alliance, and quite frankly, I'm not picking on the Alliance, any Christian organization, and your resume was married five times, you wouldn't be selected. It is what it is. And yet the very first missionary, five husbands, and the man that she was currently with, she wasn't married to. The story that I'm talking about comes from the book of John, chapter 4. You can feel free to turn there if you want. You don't need to. I'm actually speaking from John chapter 3, obviously right in front of it, so we're going to end up there. But let me just tell you about it really quick because I think it really sets the table for what we're talking about. Jesus, a practicing Jew, in John chapter 4, reroutes his travels and heads into Samaria. Now, this is significant. Racism is not something that is new. It has been around. And when Jesus walked the earth, it was a not on my watch kind of thing. For a Jew in Jesus' day would never enter the land of Samaria, but Jesus did. Jesus went right where other people were unwilling to go. And then as Jesus went there, he went to a people that his people didn't even want to talk to, didn't want to associate with. He engaged in a conversation with a woman, and in Jesus' day, that was something you didn't do. You didn't engage in conversation publicly with a woman that wasn't your wife. And never mind a woman that wasn't your wife, it was a woman who was from Samaria, a Samaritan. I mean, this is completely taboo, but Jesus, as he walked, it was a not on my watch kind of thing. Jesus would do whatever it took to reach those who were unreached. I love this about Jesus. And over the course of the conversation, it comes out that she's had five different husbands, and the man she's currently with isn't even married to him. And Jesus extends grace and then calls her, and then he sends her on mission. The very first missionary. See, someone might counter my whole get used to different thought and say, Pastor, that's just a line from a, historically fictional movie. Like, come on. Listen, my mama told me actions speak louder than words. And Jesus lived out what it meant to get used to difference. That was his first missionary. I love it. I mean, when it comes to grace and calling and sending one out on mission, Jesus would flip things upside down. He was all about reaching the unreached. And this is why I am so convinced that we, his church, inclusive of Fort Alliance, need to fully buy in to the heart of Jesus in this. And it will mean getting used to different. The heart of Jesus really actually is just reflective of the heart of the Father. And I want to go to John 3:16-18. And I know that for many, these are probably the most infamous verses in the scriptures. But they so, for me at least, perfectly communicate the heart of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world. And for anyone who believes, there is no judgment. But to him who does not believe, he already stands as judged. This is such a beautiful, pure, simple passage, and it reveals the very heart of God. God so loved. And I do not know where you are watching this from right now. I can't know that. But what I want you to know is that God loves you. There's nothing I'm more convinced of in this world than that. That God loves you. And that at a season like COVID, where it feels like relationally we are incredibly distanced, where things are so impersonal, there is a God who personally loves you. And he has designed you, and he desires to journey with life through you, to walk with you, literally walk with you. The Bible starts with God walking with his people. It ends with him walking with his people. God wants to walk with you. And it was never that God walked away. It was that us in our sin turned from him, walked away from him. But God would ensure that you could come back into relationship, journey, walk with him by coming. Jesus came, lived a sinless life, demonstrated what it means to know God, demonstrated what it means to journey with him. Show us what it means to literally walk with him. And then Jesus would take on my sin, your sin, and give his life for you. That if you would come to him and believe in the one and only Son, you'd be forgiven, freed, with greater opportunity for healing and wholeness. And this happens through faith, believing in the one and only Son, because God sent his Son not to judge, but to save. And anyone who believes is no longer judged. If this is resonating with you, it simply starts by coming to this moment where we say, Jesus, I'm sorry. Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, here, my life is now yours. You take it. I want to live for you. And this message is the message that Jesus has entrusted us, his church, with. A message where we would be willing to head out and to reach the unreached. And we must be willing to do things a little different if we're going to keep this at the core, at the forefront of what we're about. Of who we are, of why we exist, of what we value. You know, the great irony for me is this passage is, like I said, one of the most infamous passages. It's a passage that at first read, even a child can come to and have a grasp, an understanding of. And yet in Christian circles, we like to discuss, sometimes debate, potentially even argue, and unfortunately at times fight over things even like this passage. I mean, here's just one quick example. Take the old Calvinist versus Arminian way of looking at Scripture. Now you might be thinking, what's that? What are you talking about? There's these two mindsets or ways of looking at Scripture. The Calvinist mindset would be that we would be predestined to certain things, and the Arminian view would be that there is a free will among people. And even in these two camps, there is a looking at a passage that's as beautiful and as simple and as pure as this, and they'll disagree. The Calvinist will think the emphasis is for God. It is an act of God. The Arminians will think or suggest that whoever believes, there's a response that is necessary, a free will response, and they'll debate these things. For me, I could care less about winning that debate. And in fact, I'm willing to work with those who feel this way and those who feel this way. I even have friends who strongly feel this way or this way. And it's okay. It's okay. Because here's the cool thing. My friends who were here and my friends who were here agree on this. Because of God's love, we have a responsibility to reach the unreached. And because we agree on that, we work together. And that's got to be a glue-like reality, belief, understanding for us, Jesus' church, for us, Fort Alliance, in every season, but especially this one. Speaking of Christians that debate, perhaps argue, and unfortunately fight, I think it's important to establish something here, that Satan's strategies are not necessarily new. It's all too common for him to use strife that leads to division in the church. Here's the thing. When a church, a local church, becomes a kingdom-minded, a think kingdom movement, when they put at the forefront mission, vision, this thought of reaching the unreached, Satan takes notice. And he doesn't like it. And he loves to come in and poke and prod and take those little debates and turn them into arguments and have those arguments turn into fights and then those fights into strife and then strife into division, a dividing and conquering. At the least, when this happens in the fellowship, in the body, when we allow the enemy to do this, at the least it stalls out the movement, the momentum that a local church has. At the worst, it could completely blow it up. We at Fort Alliance, we've experienced that. We know what that looks like, that happens. Me, pre-Fort Alliance, I've personally witnessed and experienced that. The enemy loves to come in and bring about strife and division, particularly when you're making headway on mission for Jesus and reaching the unreached. We got to be aware of this. This is important for us to know this. As we move more and more into being a Think Kingdom type church, we gotta recognize the methods of our enemy. That this is something that he actively does and is doing. You want to know a crazy thing that I heard recently? I heard of a local church, not ours, where there was literally a fist fight over masks. Literally. Now, I'm kind of giggling as I say it. You might be giggling as you hear that, but it's that dark type giggle, isn't it? Like, that's a demonic work. That Satan would use something as simple as a mask to bring about strife and division in a local church. In all seriousness, like, how do you think the mission is going? Can a church be marked by love when fistfights are happening? Fort Alliance, for us, I do not think it is a coincidence that the final series I spoke before COVID hit was The Gloves Come Off. And there were two major points of emphasis that we made. Assume the best and go to the source. We got to be a church that in every season, especially this season, where we assume the best in one another and we go to the source if there is sin. Because Satan longs to use strife and division to halt mission. Let me go a little bit further in that thought, and I want to be even more pointed if I may. Pastor Ashley and I were having a conversation this week about witchcraft. And you need to know that I believe witchcraft is very real and that there is actively those on the side of the enemy looking to steal, kill, and destroy within our community, within our province, within our nation, within our world, okay? And I'm not belittling that reality when I say this, but I really believe it, that if I am walking closely with Jesus, I have no need to fear. Because I know Jesus wins in those environments. But there is something that I am very concerned about that is the worst form of witchcraft, if you will. It's the cursing that takes place between spiritual brothers and sisters. When a Christian who is marked with the Holy Spirit, whom is sealed with the Holy Spirit, who has the living God within them, will speak against another brother or sister. There is something also dangerous about that that just cannot be happening and taking place. And it doesn't matter to me if it's masks or music or money or what it might be about. God's people must be marked by love, and we cannot allow that form of cursing and evil to come into this body. We must be marked by love, and that means we assume the best in one another. And if sin is there, we go to the source. Now, let me be clear once again. I know I have said this before. If there is a need to go to the source, texting doesn't count. Email doesn't count. Facebook doesn't count. Twitter, IG, whatever form. You need to pick up the phone and call somebody. Even better, if it is wise and safe in the season, meet with them one-on-one. We cannot allow strife and division in any season, but especially this one, because there is a mission that is so much greater. A mission to reach the unreached that ought to unite us, that ought to bring us together, because we have come to know the love of God. And we want that to be known beyond. You know the coolest part about that verse in John 3, chapter 17, or chapter 3, verse 17? Jesus says, the Father sent the Son, or God sent the Son. Not to judge the world, but to save the world. And at the end of his life, John chapter 20, in fact, Jesus then says this, As the Father sent me, now I am sending you. Oh, the mission is right there before us. A people who've come to know the love of the Father and are marked by the Father, and a people who must reach the unreached. United in that. And guess what? People who are willing to reach the unreached are going to do things that no one else is doing. Get used to different. This excites me. This thought, this reality, this living out of that stokes something deep within my soul that longs for more. You might be listening, sitting here, thinking, what would that look like for me, Pastor? How could that be lived out for me? I mean, you have this boldness about you, or you're naturally a communicator, or you've studied and you've got training in scriptures like me. Remember the first missionary? Jesus extends grace. He brings about a call, and then he sends you out on mission. And when I say that you've been marked, sealed, that you've been identified as Jesus through the Holy Spirit, I really believe it, that you have the Holy Spirit in you. And that he can use you wherever you are in the same way that he used that woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, who would go on to reach her entire little village. And so maybe the first step to reaching the unreached, to being willing to do what no one else is doing, to getting used to different, is being okay with saying a big, bold, courageous prayer. In fact, I dare you to pray this prayer today. Father, I love you. Thank you for your grace. Jesus, I love you. Thank you for saving me. Holy Spirit, I love you. And I need you. Grant me the courage to just step out in faith and reach one. Today, maybe this week, maybe in this Christmas season, where you are calling me, I will go. In Jesus' name, amen.